Well, glory, glory. So we will fellowship next week. I always look forward to our fellowships. Amen. Good time around the table with one another. We don't do it enough. And all God's people say,
amen.
Yeah, you're gonna see that. We're gonna see that in the book of Acts. Okay. Anybody else? God is so good. He sure is. He sure is, Carolyn. He is good, good, good. All right. Well, look, take the revelation you brought with you today. If you don't have a Bible with you, if you look on the end of the pew, you can find one. Or pull out your phone. I imagine you have an app on your phone. And turn to the book of Acts. We are started reading today again through the book of Acts. We have been in Acts, if I'm not mistaken, some probably 12 times or more over the last 14 years. It's one of those books that we can read again and again and again and again. Just like all the revelation of God, it's so applicable and great for us, because when you speak about what the Spirit was doing in the life of God's people, of what Jesus said He would do, that's what we find in the book of Acts. And if you want to measure your journey, our journey, we together, if we want to measure it in relationship to what revival is to look like in an individual's life, in a body of believers' lives, this is where we find it, in the book of Acts. And that's what we want to glean as we walk through it. We want to see what Jesus was doing in His people, in the presence of the Holy Spirit at work within them in their journey. How many of you want to walk in the power of the Spirit?
Amen,
amen and amen. And do we need His power?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, we were told that as we closed out the book of Luke, which we just read a couple days ago. Luke had 24 chapters. So on the 24th, the day before Christmas, we wrapped up with Luke, and then we moved into what?
Matthew.
What's that? We read Matthew, two chapters in Matthew. So we get a picture of that scene again. And then we went into 1 John. That's right. We went into 1 John. And John said that for us to have fellowship with the Father, we got to walk in the light. Well, to walk in the light, you got to walk with Jesus. If we're going to walk with Jesus, it's the only way to walk with the Father. So to walk with Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit at work. But not only that, we need to know what the apostles, they're teaching, what they taught about Jesus, the things that He commanded them. So that's what John said. If you want to have fellowship with Jesus and the Father by the power of the Spirit, you got to have fellowship through the apostles, because they are the ones for whom God gave the revelation of Himself and the teaching of the new covenant through His people. And we find it in the work of the apostles. And he says that, John said that in the very first few verses of chapter 1. He says, we want to tell you about this life, and this life is eternal life, and this life has light, because light is life in the kingdom of God. For us to have fellowship with them, the work of God's Spirit in His people, we have to go through the revelation of what God has revealed to us. That's why we spend as much time as we do in the message that God has given us to walk in. And then as we walk with Jesus, as we walked in the Gospel of Luke, what did we see Jesus doing? He had a public ministry to transform and change lives for the glory of Himself, of His Father. He did this through grace. But remember, every public ministry that Jesus had, he functioned out of private moments with His Father, didn't he? He spent time. He spent time with the Father. They'd find Him often what? Off by Himself, seeking and praying. And that applies to me and you. Amen.
Amen.
Doesn't Jesus live in us? And remember, the life He lived then, He wants to live now where? In and through our lives. So what He did then is what He's going to be doing now. Jesus is not doing anything different than what He did when He came. He came to what? Seek and save that which is lost. That's right. He came to transform, to interrupt. And he said the interruption would be so distinct, Mr. Billy, that he said, don't think that I came to bring peace, but I came to what? To divide. Not that he pits us against people, but when you are interrupted by Jesus and walk with him, that life is such a different kind of life that it will pit the world against us. Because as John says, they didn't know him and they won't know you. Because they didn't know him, they're not going to know us. They're not going to be able to understand us. They're not going to be able to relate and connect with us. So that does cause what? A division. That change that he creates in us divides us, not among ourselves, not with ourselves, and doesn't even divide us in a world that we live in. It then launches us out into a world, the same world that Jesus came to save. And because that life is so different, the world we live in is now divided with us. But we overcome that, right? Amen. Why? Because we are compelled by the love of Christ. And if one died for all, then all died, and those that live are to live no longer for themselves, but for him that died and rose for them. Amen? Amen? Jesus laid his life down for us, and as a result, we lay our lives down for the brethren. Amen? Amen? And to do his work. But you see, when we think about that, I got a couple of notes I want to read to you today that I jotted down. We talked about these in days gone by, but that public ministry for Jesus requires private moments with Jesus. If we're going to do Jesus' work in this world, we have to spend quiet time, private time, nesting with him. Amen?
Amen?
It's impossible to do the work that we've been called to do and not be refreshed in the nest with Jesus on a daily and regular basis. That has to be a priority. Okay. Public ministry for the Lord will require private moments with him. Public work, remember this, public work should be birthed out of private worship.
Amen.
Public work for him should be birthed out of private worship with him. Remember, because Jesus said he didn't go places, he didn't do things, he didn't touch people's lives, he didn't even speak except that which his Father gave him to speak and to do and to say. Amen?
Amen.
That meant that he spent private time in worship with his Father to get what the Father wanted him to do as he walked on this earth. And that's the key. Remember, Jesus lived an obedient life. Jesus was without sin, without fault, without any mess ups. That's not us, though. But remember, he was our substitute. And as our substitute, he did what we couldn't do. And because he did what we couldn't do, it's his life that is then transferred to us that we could be righteous before a holy God. But remember, the life that he lived is the life that he wants to live out of us right now.
Amen.
And when he's leading us, that's what he's going to do. He's going to drive us to seek him, to hear from him, to trust him, to lean on him, to, as he leaned upon his Father, to walk in obedience with him. Okay. Public wars, because we are in a warfare, and all God's people said.
Amen.
But remember, we don't war against what? Flesh and blood. What do we war against? Principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. A spiritual host of wickedness that what? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We are in a spiritual battle every day of our life. Not just with a world that is anti-Christ, not just with an enemy like Satan who is fueling the fires of the people that are anti-Christ, but we got to deal with what? This old frail flesh, right?
Amen.
How many of y'all's flesh still tries to get in the way?
Amen.
How many of y'all have a battle that goes on within the way you think and those types of things? How many of us need our minds what? Renewed on a regular basis. How many's bodies are still failing them?
Amen.
Giving you trouble.
Come on.
Is it giving you trouble?
Amen.
Mine's giving me trouble. Just giving me trouble. It's always giving me trouble. It's always a fight.
Yeah.
It's always a fight. But I know too much to give up. Amen.
Come on.
I've seen too much to stop now.
Amen.
These things didn't start with me. It can't stop. with me. Lord, just keep passing these things on, and we need to keep passing it on. Amen?
Amen.
I was going to share with y'all this morning, I went and seen the doctor this past week. My numbers are going back up again. They've been doubling every time I go. So old cancer's just showing its old ugly face again. So they have prescribed me. I've gotten it. I hadn't started it yet, but a pill. It's not a chemo pill. It's a targeted medicine that deals with the protein to block a protein that creates these cancer cells in my body. It's specifically designed for forms of leukemia, not all of them, but one that I have, the CLL. And I think it's called ibrutinib or something. So y'all be praying with me. It's one of those drugs that, like I said, it's not chemo, but it does put you in a position where you could have some side effects with it, some complications with it, and we've got to take these kids and get them back to their parents, and I didn't want to start it until I got back here. And so that's what they prescribed me to start, and then I go back and see the doctor in a month and go from there. So, but you know, as we always say, it is what? It is well. It is well. What do we say to these things? If God be for us, who or what can be against us? Amen. So we'll just press on through it, do whatever needs to be done, and keep walking with it. We rejoice and give God the glory for it. I can't help but thank Him for where He's got me, what He's doing. But see, we battle with that on a regular basis. And this will be just another battle. It'll put me a little, right now, with everybody being sick and all these stuff going around, which they tell us none of this stuff's contagious. Y'all, have they told y'all that? You can't catch it? Man, they think we really that stupid, huh? I don't know where they get that from, but anyway, everybody seems to be getting it, but this will make me prone for some infections and that type of thing, so I have to be, you know, pretty cautious with it on what I do and can do. And it's also one of those pills that you take indefinitely once you start on them. You just got to keep taking it. And unless there's other things that will involve, ask the doctor, well, if I need to go through chemo again, can I through this? And he said, yeah, that I can go that route. Or chemo would be another option to go through again right now. But he recommended this pill. And if you have any kind of heart issues or heart trouble, it's not safe to take. And it's also, if your blood pressure, got high blood pressure, that can be an issue. My blood pressure has been a little touched elevated lately. And so y'all pray it'll all go well and won't cause me any kind of troubles. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll give the glory to the Lord for that. But public wars are won through private walks with the Lord. Private walks with Him.
Amen.
Private worship with Him. Private moments with Him that make us the vessels of His mercy that do His warring, His witnessing, and His work on this earth. Amen.
Amen.
We cannot neglect that in each and every day of our life. So let's read in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, and then we're going to probably look back at chapter 24 again of Luke and just see how we close that out and what we need to be present in our everyday life as we do fellowship, as we do abide in Jesus. That simply is we live and operate in faith, this trust in Him. So verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. He says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, and we've talked about Theophilus in days gone by. We have a bunch of messages online out of the book of Acts, and I just encourage you, if you have some time and you want to refresh that, you can go back and listen to those, and it'll cover so many things that we won't get to cover today, or even this time through Acts. Figure 12 times we've covered quite a bit. And we've got most of that documented and put online. So the former account I made to you, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. I just love that word, began.
Amen.
I would circle that because he ain't finished. Amen. He's still doing.
Amen.
And he's still teaching.
Come on.
And all God's people said.
Amen.
And what he's doing through people like you and me.
Amen.
What he's teaching is he's doing it through people like you and me. He's not teaching new things, but he's still teaching what he taught when he lived. Remember, he kept teaching the disciples that he walked with for those 3 years. He kept reteaching them. The same things, what? And Janet, they still didn't get it, did they?
Amen. Amen.
But you know, they did get it when he opened up their comprehension.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he gave them the Spirit. And it says, after his resurrection, after he gave them the Spirit, those things that he taught them, they began to see them. And be able to recognize. See, we have the Spirit of God. We have an anointing from God. John said that, right?
Yes.
And we don't need people to teach us who Jesus is. The anointing has revealed to us who Jesus is, what Jesus requires of us, what He's called on us to do. And when He's teaching us, He's going to guide. He's going to shepherd us. And when He shepherds us, He's going to what? He's going to guide. He's going to teach us, as He taught His disciples, He's going to teach us where to launch out. He's going to teach us where to let down the nets. He's going to teach us when to lift up the nets. And He's also going to teach us to let other people help us in doing what He's called us to do. Remember when He was with the disciples that day in the boat and He told them to launch out? Miss Barbara, they've been fishing all night and they ain't caught nothing. And Jesus said, launch it out. And they said, well, Master, we've been fishing all night and they ain't caught nothing. But they did. And then He told them to do what? Let down your nets right here. And boy, they let down their nets. He said, lift them up. When they lifted them up, they had so much fish in it, they had to let the other fishermen come help them get them in the boat. Why? Because they just let the shepherd lead them. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the same thing. He's doing and teaching what He began. And He's going to teach us and lead us where to launch out in this life to do His work. Where we to let our nets down on those mission fields that He's given us, like our jobs and our community, wherever He sends us. We then get to lift them up when He says lift them up. You know what? And we're always enlisting other people to come help us take in the harvest for the glory of God. So He began to do and teach. Verse 2, He then says, I wrote these things until the day in which He was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit, He had given commandments. And y'all can say that. Let's say that together. He gave His apostles what?
Commandments.
Commandments. Those same commandments apply to who?
Us.
To us today.
Amen.
So when people tell you Jesus don't require or command us to do anything, just tell them, well, you ain't reading the same Bible I read. Amen. Just take them, just remember the first book of Acts, just remember that, and then we go over and look in Luke 24 and say, look, He commanded them to do some things, and what He commanded them, that command still falls on me today. Amen. So He said, He gave them commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of these things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And they being assembled together with them, He commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem. That is, they were to stay right where they were, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from John truly baptized with, or you can put the word in there. The idea is He immersed you in water, because that's what baptism means, to be immersed. He immersed you in water, but you shall be what? Immersed in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And the essential thing that they needed. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I mean, that's a great question. It's just the wrong time for the question. And that's what He tells them. Verse number 7. And He said to them, it is not for us to know times or season which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive what?
Power.
When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem And then in all Judea and Samaria and what? To the ends of? Man, that, He's got our name in there, don't He?
Amen.
That ends of there talks about Karen and me. Amen? And then the same principle then applies to us. Well, we just keep carrying that message. Amen? We just keep carrying it. So let's go over and look at Luke 24 and see this command, some of the commands that He gave. Luke 24. We just read this just over a week ago. A week and a day. So it ought to be fresh to us. Luke 24. Let's look, if you would, in verse number 44. Let's just start there. Jesus had met up with, this is after His resurrection, He met up with His disciples, and He said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms," concerning who?
Jesus.
Concerning Jesus. Key word in there, must. They must be fulfilled. Not an option. Amen?
Amen.
They had to be. Any flaw in that would discredit the whole show. So they must be fulfilled in every aspect of it. Okay, verse 45. Now notice what He does, Tammy. Then Jesus, because Jesus has the power. Who does truth belong to?
God.
It does. That's right. Jesus is the truth. Amen. And the Bible told us in also in John's Gospel and in 1 John that the Spirit is truth. Why? Because the triune Godhead are one. They are co-equal, one, and the Spirit is truth, Jesus is truth, God is truth, and they own truth. And all God's people said, they can give truth when they want to, and they can what? They can take it away.
Yeah.
They can take it away. Remember Jesus said, what you think you might have, even what you have will be what?
Taken
away from it if you don't use what I give you. Are we accountable when God gives us truth?
Amen.
Yes, we are. We are accountable and responsible for that. Verse 45. And Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Help us, Lord. Because if He don't open it, Jay, it ain't going to happen. Amen.
Right.
We need Him to open our understanding to the things that He has written. Verse 46, then He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary." The old King James, does it say behooved?
Yes.
It behooved. It was a must. It's a necessary thing. It was written, and because it was written, it was a must. It behooved. It was a necessary thing for a couple of things to happen. Number one, for Christ would have to what?
Suffer.
He was going to have to suffer. He would have to suffer. Who had predetermined He would have to suffer? God did. It was written. Therefore, it was necessary that Christ would suffer. That would mean His entire suffering and His death, and to rise from the dead the third day. It was a must. And not only His life, His death, His resurrection, but it's also necessary and a must. What must be preached in His name? That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning what? At Jerusalem. And He says, "And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So here's three things we see. Number one, these disciples, who did they have with them, teaching them at this time? They had Jesus. They had Jesus. What else did they have that was an essential element for them to be witnesses? They had the Scriptures. They had the teaching. He opened their understanding so that they could understand. So they had the Savior. Can't be saved without a Savior.
Amen.
And Jesus is the Savior. Number two, you got to have the Scriptures so that you can tell people about who this Savior is and what this Savior's done. Isn't that what He taught them? He taught them about Himself out of what? The Law, Moses, and the Prophets, and the Psalms. So they had what? The Savior, they had the Scriptures. What was the third thing they needed to be effective witnesses for Jesus? They needed what, Miss Pat?
Spirit.
They needed the Spirit. That's right. I mean, they had the Savior, fundamental. They had the Scriptures to talk about the Savior and what He's done. But one final thing they had to have to be effective witnesses in Jerusalem and then to all the world. They needed the Spirit. That's the three essentials that is needed for us today to be empowered to be effective witnesses. Number one, we've got to be saved by a Savior. Number two, we've got to have the Scriptures who tell us all about this Savior so that we can go tell people about this Savior. But we must have the Spirit of God that empowers us to tell people about this Savior and about the Scriptures that He's given us so that we can be lights in this world, that we can be Jesus in this world that we live in. We need the Savior, we need the Scriptures, and we need the Spirit.
Amen.
Without those three operating in our life from day to day, we're just not effective people for the King nor His kingdom. Amen?
Amen?
We need those three things. You need those three things. Jesus operated within those three things. Jesus operated with His Father. He operated based on the Scriptures. And everything He did, He was led and filled with the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God who performed the miracles in and through His life. And the same thing is going to apply to me and you today. Lord willing, we have tomorrow. And Lord willing, we have another month from now, or 6 months from now, another year, or 20 or 30 years. It ain't going to change. We need Jesus, His presence, His witness in our life. We need the Scriptures witness in our life. And we need the Spirit's presence and witness in our life.
Amen.
If we're going to do what He's called us to do. That's why He told them. You'd think, Josh, they had everything they needed. They had the Savior and they had the Scriptures. But He told them to wait.
Yeah.
To wait for the Spirit. That they might be His witnesses to the ends of the earth. I mean, you get Jesus, think you got it all, amen? And you do, for salvation. You have the Scriptures, you got everything that gives us understanding about this Savior and about this truth and what He's done. But if the Spirit of God, if we're not walking in the Spirit, led of the Spirit, filled of the Spirit, we're not going to overcome what? Who?
Ourselves.
And you know what's going to be produced out of our life? The works of the flesh and not the fruit of the
Spirit.
We got to have those three operating in our life. Those three witnesses.
Amen.
That make us witnesses that are what? Compelled by His love.
Amen.
Witnesses that allow the Word of Christ to dwell richly within us. Witnesses that are filled up with the Spirit of God. Influenced by Him in everything we do in life. And look, how many of y'all missed a mark on this from time to time?
Come on.
How many of you go out and just operate in the flesh?
Come on.
Not representing the witness of Jesus, not representing the witness of the truth, and not led and filled up with the Spirit. Just get off and you just mess things up. I ain't the only one, amen? But you remember, we got a great tool. We don't have to let our mess ups do what?
Mess us up.
We don't have to let our mess ups mess us up. Man, when we get down, we fall down, what do? Man, we just get back up again and look up.
Amen.
Look up. Look, wipe the blood off, wipe the dust off. Just look up every morning. It's a new day with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Fresh mercies. You know, some people make New Year's resolutions and some people plan out a whole year every time the new year rolls around. But I want to tell you what, His mercies are fresh what? Every morning, every day is a fresh new day with Him. Amen?
Amen.
For you and I to just look up, lean in, and listen for, and to go out and just help other people look up to Him as well. And just let Him lead us. Amen. We want to be people who are what? Who are passionate. We want to be people who are purposeful. I brought an old scope. I used to keep this old scope on my turkey gun. I had an old shotgun and I had this old scope mounted on it, and I took it off years ago and went and dug it up. But if you're going to shoot with an old scope like this, you got to zero that thing in. If it ain't zeroed in, Greg, you ain't going to hit what you're aiming at. Amen. Josh, before y'all start deer season with y'all's rifles, do y'all go out and shoot them? How about you, Josh? You shoot yours. Rusty, you shoot yours? You shoot at a deer, right? And if you hit him where you aim, you know it's still on. And if you miss him, you better go shoot it. Amen? Something done got off. But if your scope's off, if your aim's off, if your purpose is off, you're never going to hit the mark. Amen?
Amen.
You're never going to hit the mark. And the Bible's filled with great principles and truths on helping us hit the mark. Have you ever been, Greg, shooting at a turkey? And you've been watching that bird and watching that bird and watching that bird, and you're kind of looking over your scope on your gun or whatever. And when that bird gets within range, you're still looking over your scope and not looking actually through your sights and overshoot the bird and miss them? Several times. Why? Because you're focusing in on what you're wanting to hit, but you're not aiming properly at it. And that's the same thing that happens with us and what He's called us to do. Or if you are trying to aim through, like this scope here, I'm aiming here, but I turn my head and I look behind me. Did my scope go off of what I was initially looking at?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to aim at those watching us right now. Turn that. What happened? Does it go off?
Yeah.
Do I get distracted? So if I want to hit what, I've got to what? Refocus,
yeah,
and make sure I get back on the target again. And there's so much in life, in everyday life, and mornings can be the worst time that if you're not careful, you just get distracted. You're looking at other things. You're thinking about the day. But remember, public ministry for Jesus, and we're all public ministers, amen?
Amen.
Requires what? Private moments with Him.
Yes.
I got to get on focus first with Him so that when He launches me out in the day, I know what I'm looking at. I know what I'm aiming for. I know what He's sending. I know where He's wanting me to what? Launch out,
yeah,
let it down, lift it up, and let other people help me. Amen. And the glory that He's called me to do. So, what are the three things that we need, the three witnesses of three things in our life every day to be present, and not just present, but actually leading us in every facet of our life? We need who?
Jesus.
We need Jesus, a Savior. We need a Savior. Aren't you glad of His grace?
Amen.
We're not talking about, when we mention these commandments, we're not talking about things that are governed by a law that we're trying to gain the favor of a Savior. We already got His favor. Amen?
Amen.
We're already what? Loved by Him. And He's demonstrated that. We once were enemies and He laid His life down for us. I'm a friend with Jesus now.
Come on.
And He wants to shepherd me through this life. Amen?
Amen.
What else do I need? I need the Word. I need the Scriptures. I need the truth about Jesus. Why? I need to know why I'm walking the way that I'm walking. I need to know why I can help somebody with what they're walking in so that I can point them, to this Savior, and I can show Him all through the Scriptures. All through the Scriptures, who He is, what He's done, why He can do something with them, and the reason that they need Him in His truth in their life. What else do we need?
Holy Spirit.
We need the Spirit of God. We need the authority and the power of the Spirit of God influencing and leading us through this. We need God lead us.
Amen.
In what we're doing. Amen?
Come on.
Why? Because the Spirit The Spirit, Sandy, has what? Gifted me. God has given me gifts. He's given you a gift. And I can function in that gift to be able to tell people about Him, but also to be able to encourage the brethren and edify and lift up the people of God for the glory of God. Amen. Now, are any of these things new? This is what the church has been functioning in since Jesus established it. Amen? Amen. Now, when you read through the book of Acts, just watch what the Spirit is doing in the people's life. Look who they're exalting and magnifying. Watch what they're teaching in the truths they're teaching, that they're gathering the people of the God together and they are teaching them the truths. They're fellowshipping with them, breaking bread with them. And the fear of God will fall upon people around them and great favor will be upon their lives. And God does great and wonderful things. And folks, that's what revival is.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's nothing crazy. It's just walking with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Filled up with the Spirit, with a passion and purpose, with a priority in life to what? Reach people for Him, teach those that we reach about Him, equip those that we're teaching, and help mobilize other people to go out and go to work with Him.
Amen.
Walk with Him. It's just that simple. Can we do it on our own?
No.
No. Do we need one another?
Yes.
Do we need a Savior?
Yes.
Do we need His Word?
Yes.
And we need His power, His presence, and the Spirit upon us. Or it ain't going to happen. Is there any shortcuts to it?
No.
Any substitutes for it?
No.
Not at all. Not at all. None whatsoever. Well, to Him be the glory. Stephanie wanted me to personally, on her behalf, apologize to y'all that she has not taken down these Christmas decorations. I said, they're not going to mind. They still look pretty. Amen.
Amen.
They're not going to mind. But we've been running after two little toddlers, a 17-month-old and just shy of a 3-year-old, trying to take care of them. And Lydia and them were going to come out and give a hand, but they wind up getting sick. And little Leland was sick. And so that they were going to watch them. We was going to go home over here and take care of all this. But I said, it's just going to have to happen next week. That's all we'll have to say. So we're going to try to get them over to their parents and get on back over here and look forward to gathering with y'all on Wednesday. We'll get back on our normal, regular, weekly and Sunday schedule. And yes, ma'am, Miss Pat.
There's a sign down there that says the road's going to be closed Wednesday.
Yeah, Portable.
At Portable. The road's going to be closed. The crossing. Okay. I see. They're going to be doing a little work. Well, if you can't make it, we understand where you are. And we'll still go ahead and plan on it. Y'all just keep that in mind if you're out and about on Wednesday, on coming home from that direction. It happens. Remember, Tammy, didn't you come down here one day and get stuck on our road and couldn't make it? It was an eating Sunday, too, huh? She done fixed something. She was ready to eat and couldn't make it. Look. Well, look, we love y'all. We're delighted to be able to serve with you. Can't wait to see what God's going to do with each of us each and every day. We pray for over each of you. Excited about what's coming in your life, the things that are happening. And some of y'all been down some tough road this past year and seen some hardship physically and emotionally and mentally, and we're just going to keep our eyes on Jesus, right? Our mess-ups don't have to. Hey, and the mess-up of others don't have to mess you up, amen? Look, nobody's worth getting out of the will of God for, amen? But I want to tell you, they're all worth staying in the will of God for. Staying in the will of God for. Keep walking with Him. Keep walking with Him. Keep checking on your people. Keep checking on your brothers and sisters. Keep loving on each other. And ask God to open doors for you and for us as a whole, and that we'll be faithful with the doors that He opens. We'll walk in it, and that we'll share as God leads us. But we need Jesus.
Amen.
Man, He's got to be living His life out of us. Man, we need to know His Word. Need His power in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. May He use it. Father, we thank You today. We bless You. We ask You to help us with these things, that You'll use us to have influence here in our neighborhood, among our neighbors, among our family, among our brothers and sisters, in our communities and our states, Lord, and throughout this country and around the world. We just want to be faithful with what you give us, just each and every day. We're going to keep getting up from morning to morning, thanking you for your new mercies and your kindness and your goodness. And we're asking you to lift our eyes to the heavens, and that you have put people on our heart to be praying for, and people to go and launch out toward and bring this great news that we have. They can't be saved without the preaching of the gospel. They can't know you unless we go tell them. So I pray that as we carry you where we go, we'll be those witnesses that are yours, that you are delighted and excited to use to advance your kingdom for your glory. So we thank you for our faith family here at the chapel, for those that connect with us from around the world, and those that pray along with us. So we're going to pray for healing, we're going to pray for well-being, and we just ask you to touch your people right now for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Man, and all God's people said, "Oh, what a word and song." Amen. Wherever He leads, whatever the cost. All right, anybody have anything before we go? Yes, ma'am.
I always think that it takes just a few minutes or a couple moments to witness to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Let them see what they need.
That's right.
The Lord has put in
you. Mm-hmm.
Those words can make a difference.
Oh, they can.
To guide them.
That's right.
To put them on a path.
Yeah.
To want to know the Lord better.
That's right.
To keep them from, you know, people don't believe in hell, but it is a hell.
That's right.
Whether it's a loved one, a stranger, take the time.
I totally agree. Ask God to give you little things that can be a tool for you. Y'all know I use various things to do, share with. Well, I was at the VA this past week. They have been, for the longest time, not checking your stuff when you go through. They have guards when you go through, and they make you put all your stuff, and they run them through the machines and all that. But because of all the sickness, they haven't been doing that. Well, I was surprised when I went through the other day. They made me put all my stuff in, and everybody else that was going through. Well, when I was putting all my stuff back in my pockets, I happened to overhear one of the guards. He said, "Did you see those beans?" to the other guard. And the other guard said, "No, that looked like ibuprofen." And he said, "No, I think that was beans." So I said, I turned around. I said, "Well, let me tell y'all about these beans right here." So I shared with him about the beans. And that one guy, he was looking at my nails that I keep. And because, you know, they're looking at it for a weapon. And he realized what it was, and he let it go through. And I said, "I noticed you looking at those nails. Let me tell you about these nails and why I give these away." So it's little things like that. You never know how God's going to open up doors for you to share those things. Amen? Just ask Him to use it.
How far it will go after you.
That's right. That's right. Of what they're going to do when you say that little... Remember, every salvation, every work of Jesus is going to be an interruption in people's lives. They go in their way. So it's going to interrupt them. It's going to interrupt them. It can get uncomfortable at times when you're talking with them. Don't answer for them. Let God work on them. Let God work. They may not show that right there, but you never know what it's going to do when you walk away from them. Or the day after. Or several days. You never know. All right. Well, look, we love y'all. How many of y'all got some needs right now and you need your brothers and sisters praying for you? Do. You make a commitment to pray for them, and I know they'll be praying for you. Amen? Thank you, brother. I sure appreciate it. Well, to Him be the praise. Amen.